Good morning. It's good to see you, buddy. Welcome to our service. It's great to have you worshiping with us this morning. Thanks to Carrie for filling in for Susan. Susan, our worship leader, is away. Her daughter graduated from college yesterday, so congratulations to Emily, and we are excited for her. Happy Mother's Day. It's great to have everyone worshiping with us today. I do want us to just pause for a minute and have a prayer for moms and those who are mother figures in our lives. But I also want us to pray for just a few families in our church that have a lot of things going on. One is the Blocker family. Kay Blocker was a longtime member of our church. She would have been 98 in August. She passed away last week. And so we certainly want to pray for her family and for the. We'll be having a memorial service at 11 o'clock here for her tomorrow, and so pray for her family as they, some of them are traveling in town today from out of state, and just pray for them for tomorrow's service as well. And then we've got a couple of families that are moving. They're military families, and so they're being called away to other places. Luke and Kat Helwig will be moving in a couple of months, or in about a month or so, to San Diego. Luke is actually already down in Norfolk now for some training, and they've got a brand new baby, little Gavin, if you've seen Gavin. And so basically what Gavin is doing with his mom is doing the grandbaby tour, right, since they're freed up and Luke is down in Norfolk. So they're just visiting grandma and grandpa. Both sets live in different parts of the country. So I'm not sure we'll even see Luke and Kat again before they relocate to San Diego area. And then Mark and Casey Leal, they were in the early service, and Luke is in the Marines. Mark is in the Navy, and so they're moving to Texas. And so we want to pray for Mark and Casey and for the boys as they get ready to relocate there. Mark is pulling out Friday, and then Casey will be following after the boys are done with school. So pray for all of the transition there. And then I want us to pray for Jeff and Danielle Dixon. They're not moving, but Jeff was deployed to Afghanistan about 3 months ago. So we our staff have been praying for him, and their small groups have been praying for him. We certainly want to continue just to pray for him while he's away, and that he's safe with all the people that he's serving with. And they are expecting their third, right? So a lot going on there. So we certainly want to pray for Danielle and the boys too while he's gone. So let's go to God in prayer and just ask him just to bless all of these situations. God, we thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you just for a day that we can set aside and pause and just be thankful and be grateful for the moms in our lives, whether they're our biological moms or whether they're just women who have stood in that gap or stood in that place somewhere along the way and encouraged us and supported us and just helped us to become the people that we are today. And we thank you for them. Thank you for putting them in our lives. And we just pray that you would bless them wherever they are today. And then, God, I just pray for those who today is a difficult day for just a number of reasons. Maybe their mom's not in their lives, or maybe that relationship's not what they want it to be. And so we just want to lift up those who are struggling today and just pray that you would just give them just an extra measure of your grace and your presence in their lives. And then I just pray for families in our church who have a lot going on, who are in transition. I pray for Luke and Kat and for Mark and Casey and for their families as they get ready to transition to another part of the country as they continue to serve our country through the military. And we thank you for their commitment and for the work that they do, and just bless them in all that they do, and just bring all of the details together that need to happen between now and then. And then we pray for Jeff, who's away, that you just protect him and protect those that he's serving alongside of. We pray for Danielle and the boys, that you just, again, meet all of their needs while he's away as well. And then, God, I just pray for each one of us, that wherever we are in life, that we would trust in you in new ways as we grow in our faith and understanding of who you are. Now, God, open our hearts and our minds to the things you want us to know and the things you want us to do. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So grab your notes. We started a brand new series last week called You Drive Me Crazy. If you weren't here and this is your first time seeing that graphic, you maybe can identify with the rest of us that at times in our lives, that's what we want to do, right? Because there are just some people sometimes in our lives, I call them crazy makers in this series. that just make life kind of difficult. People that we're in relationship with in one way or another. Maybe we're close to them. Maybe we work with them. Maybe we're neighbors with them. And if you're going to have a healthy relationship, if you and I were going to be in healthy relationships, whether it's with people that we love the most or people like this that just drive us crazy, one of the things that we have to learn to deal with in life, particularly as followers of Jesus, is with the idea of how to handle anger. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And I didn't pick anger because it's as a Mother's Day sermon. It just fell in the series, okay? And so we just are moving forward with it. But how do we deal with anger in our own lives? How do we diffuse it in the lives of others, particularly the crazy makers who just want to push our buttons? How do we handle that? We're going to talk about that for just a few minutes today. But before I do that, I wanted to just give you a few facts about anger. I just found these kind of interesting and thought you might too. But here they are. The average woman loses her temper 3 times a week. The average guy loses his temper 6 times a week. Anybody surprised at that? There were a couple of guys who started to raise their hand and then they pulled them down in the early service because they didn't want to get elbowed, I guess. The next one, women get angry more often at people. Guys get angry at things like the TV, the remote, the car, the dog, whatever just gets in the way, and mechanical things like that. In fact, it was interesting. We were on a conference last week with some of our staff, and we got to talking about anger for some reason. I think I mentioned I was going to be teaching on it this week, and Lex, our youth pastor, he's like, "Yeah, it drives my wife crazy because I don't get angry at people, but I get angry at the microwave because it just won't work right and stuff like that." And I was like, "Well, maybe you need to be in service," but he's actually traveling today, so he'll catch it online, I guess. But anyway, so women more often with people, guys more often with things. Women are more verbal with their anger, where men tend to be more physical. Now, that probably doesn't surprise any of us, does it? We get that. We see that. We kind of understand that. This one was interesting to me. Single adults express anger twice as often as married couples. Isn't that interesting? Some of you are going, "Oh, wait a minute." And then the last one, the place that you're most likely to express anger is at home. And I don't think that one should surprise us either. And do you know why this is? We tend to express anger at home more than anywhere else. You know why that is? Because we get angry more often and more intensely with the people that we love, don't we? With the people that we're closest to. And that kind of makes sense because the people who make you the angriest are the ones you love the most because, one, they have the greatest potential to hurt us, right, or to offend us. They're in the best position to irritate us, aren't they, and to frustrate us. We also tend to get angry at home more often than anywhere else with family members because it's generally a safe place to do that. I mean, kids will explode at home, but they won't explode at school with their teachers, right? Why? Because they feel a sense of safety there. Mom's going to love me. Dad's going to love me even if I explode. I'm not sure about all these other people. So there's that. Now, all throughout this series, we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs. We looked at it a lot last week. We're going to look at it almost completely this week. Proverbs was written, it's in the Old Testament. Proverbs was written by a guy by the name of Solomon. Solomon was king of Israel. He was King David's son. He followed King David as king. Solomon was king of Israel during Israel's golden age. I mean, they were at the top of who they were going to be as a nation during Solomon's reign. And one day, Solomon asked God for wisdom, and God gave it to him. I mean, I'm talking wisdom above what all of us could ever imagine. Wisdom like nobody else had. In fact, other kings were told, as we read the history of Israel this time, other kings would send people to Solomon to ask for his wisdom on decisions that they had to make. World leaders would go to Solomon and ask him for wisdom on things. So Solomon was referred to as the wisest man who ever lived during his time. He was just an incredibly, incredibly wise person. And he wrote down a whole bunch of this wisdom that he had. And they're in the book of Proverbs. And here's what a proverb is. A proverb is simply a statement about life that's generally true about life. A proverb, it's not a promise. When you read through Proverbs, they're not promises. This is definitely going to happen or anything like that. God's not making promises through Proverbs. But Proverbs are simply statements about life that are generally true. When we read them, most of the time we go, "Yeah, that's pretty much true." And it just kind of reminds us of things we need to be reminded of. So when it comes to dealing with relationships and when it comes to dealing with people in general, which is what this series is all about, but especially the you drive me crazy kind of people, Proverbs has a lot to offer us. So today, I want to do two things. First, I want us to just take a quick look at the ways anger show up, the kind of the ways that people express anger, because anger's not just explosive, right? There's a lot of different ways that anger can show up in somebody's life. Not all of us are exploders, but we still have anger issues that we have to deal with as followers of Jesus. So we're going to look at that, and then we're going to look at just a few biblical principles of how can you handle anger? How can you diffuse anger that is sometimes caused by the crazy makers in your life? So ways that we express anger, I'm going to give you four. There's probably more than this. There's probably other ways to describe them and to define them. I'm going to give you four. See if which one of these fits you. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, so you don't have to sweat that one out, okay? And also, like I said last week, don't be elbowing people. Don't be looking over in people. If your teenager's not sitting with you, don't cut your eyes over in their direction or anything like that. If I see you doing that, it'll make me angry. I'll call you out in front of everybody. It won't be fun, okay? I'm just kidding. But here's the first category. Here's the first way that people express anger. I'd call them the machine guns, right? The machine guns. These are people that just let you have it, right? I mean, they just mow you down. You see it coming. You know it's coming. There's no doubt that they're mad. They're very expressive. I mean, these are the people, they cuss, they yell, they throw things. They just let it fly, right? These are people who are very expressive. They're exploders. This is probably the most obvious kind of anger that's around. They just kind of explode all over you. The second kind of anger is, it's kind of the opposite of that. I'd call it the mutes, right? And these are the exact opposite of the machine guns. They don't blow up. They just clam up, right? I mean, they don't get violent. They just turn silent. And I didn't actually mean for that to rhyme. It just came out that way. But they hold it in. And they live in denial. They masquerade. They pretend. And they always refuse to admit it when they're angry. They just kind of, they swallow their anger. And here's the problem with that. Every time you swallow your anger, your stomach keeps score. Have you found this out? If you're one of these types of people, if you don't talk it out, you're going to take it out on your body eventually. So people who are mutes, people who express this kind of anger, who hold on to their anger, they sometimes tend to have high blood pressure, they get tension headaches, they get ulcers. It's not healthy because your body is not meant to hold on to anger. So those are the first two ways. We've got the violent and the silent. We blow up and clam up. Here's the third kind of response to anger. It's what I would call the martyrs. The martyrs. The martyrs are pros at holding pity parties, okay? I mean, they announce a party and invite themselves to it, right? And they're at the center of that party. Martyrs are always passive. They tend to kind of punish themselves. You know, when a crazy maker comes into their life, they don't stop and think, you know, my mom's just crazy, right? Now they stop and they think, it must be me. You know, what did I do wrong? This must be all my fault. You know, a good example of the martyr in the Bible would be the older son in the story about the prodigal son. Remember that story? The dad had two sons, and one of the sons comes to him and says, you know, Dad, I want half the inheritance now. And so dad gives it to him, and he goes off, and he blows it on crazy living and partying and all that stuff, and wasted. He loses half of the family inheritance. And then he comes back home just kind of a total mess, and the older brother gets ticked off because the dad throws a big party for him. I mean, unconditional love welcomes him back, right? And so the older brother gets angry. You know, he says, but Dad, you know, I'm the good kid. You know, I've been here the whole time. You've never thrown me a party. You throw this son who wasted all your money a great party. He just gets mad, and he becomes the martyr, doesn't he? Anyone like that, you know, in your life, maybe you work with somebody like that, they make everybody else's life miserable. If they can't be happy, they don't want everybody else to be happy either. And so they just ruin everything around them sometimes. They're martyrs. They're just as harmful as the machine gun type of person. And then here's the fourth kind of anger. It's what I would call the manipulators. And the manipulators, the motto of the manipulators is, don't get mad, get even. Right? Don't get mad. Just get even. Martyrs will never tell you to your face that they're angry with you. They're going to express their anger very, very subtly. They're going to do it sarcastically. They'll do it indirectly with just little comments, little cuts towards you, things like that. They'll do things to maybe sabotage you, or they'll do things to make you look bad, but you can never really kind of catch them at it, and you know, right there doing it. And they'll never flat out admit that really what they're doing is expressing anger to you. And when they do something that's harmful to you or something that's just mean and you actually call them out on it, they'll say things like, well, you know, I was just kidding. Can't you take a joke? You know, but they're not joking, right? They're crazy makers. Religious people can be really, really good at this one. They can couch all of their anger in spiritual terms. They'll say things like, well, I was grieved in my spirit. Well, what in the world does that mean? Well, it means I was ticked off. Well, then just say you're ticked off, right? You don't have to use all the religious jargon. In the South, I grew up in the South. I grew up in the Bible Belt. And you can do, in that culture, you can do all kinds of mean, nasty things to people as long as you end it with the phrase, well, bless your heart, right? I mean, some of you grew up there, right? You know what I'm talking about. You've heard that. You've done that. It's been done to you. Well, bless your heart. What does bless your heart mean? Nothing. It doesn't mean anything. All it means is I can stab you in the back, say, bless your heart, and it's all okay, okay? They're the manipulators. So you got four ways of expressing your anger. Now, here's why I think this is so important for us to understand. When you understand how people express anger, one, you'll recognize it in yourself. And two, you'll recognize it coming from other people. And when you recognize it in yourself and when you understand it in the people around you, then you're just in a better position to handle it in a more healthy way rather than just reacting to it. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. So what I want to do for a few minutes is just talk about how do you deal with the angry person in your life? How do you deal with the crazy maker in your life that just pushes your buttons all the time and wants to stir up anger in you? How do you deal with your own anger and not get angry back? How do you deal with their anger towards you when they won't even come out and admit it, or it's very subtle and you're not even sure it's there? I want to give you four really, really practical things really quickly this morning, and they're all from the book of Proverbs, like I said. And like I said last week, the stuff we're talking about, this is not new. I mean, we've heard this. Most of us have heard most of this at some point in our lives. It's just that we just forget it. And we just need to be reminded of it. So here's the first thing that I think we need to do when we're facing some crazy makers, when we're dealing with anger issues in relationships, is we need to calculate the cost. Before you allow yourself to get mad back, to react, you calculate what are you going to lose if you do that. Calculate the cost of anger. You're less likely to get angry with someone who's pushing your buttons if you realize there's always a price tag for me getting angry back. There's a price tag for me responding in a way that's not so healthy. And you know, God is very, very specific about uncontrolled anger. Let me give you some verses from Proverbs on this. Solomon says, an angry person causes trouble, and a person with a quick temper sins a lot. And then he says this, he says, anger causes mistakes. We talked about that last week, how when we get angry, our attention and our focus just kind of goes out the window. People with hot tempers do foolish things. So if I get angry, here's the cost of that. I might get in trouble, right? I'm probably going to sin more. I'm going to likely make some mistakes that I wouldn't make otherwise. I'm going to do some foolish things. I'm going to have some regrets because of that. Here's another cost of getting angry and losing your temper. You lose respect. You lose respect of the people around you. Maybe you lose the love of your family. Or you know, we've all known people probably who've lost their cool and lost their job as a result of that. Or maybe you lose your health, like we said, as you stuff it down and don't deal with it and don't process it. So when someone starts pushing your buttons, and they're just pushing your buttons and pushing your buttons, before you retaliate, before you get angry back, count the cost. Ask yourself, do I really want to do this? I mean, is it really worth what it's going to cost me in the long run? And then here's the second thing, and we talked about this a lot last week, but you got to look past their words. You got to look towards their pain. You got to look past their words and look at the emotions behind that. You don't respond to what they're saying. You look at why they're saying what they're saying. You know, I've said this many times. Hurt people tend to hurt other people. Have you noticed that? that hurt people tend to hurt people. When someone's hurting you, it's most likely because someone's hurt them somewhere along the way, and maybe they're still in a place of hurt. You know, unkind people many times are people who've just never felt kindness in their life. Unloving people are sometimes people who just feel unloved. And so when somebody is rude, when they're bitter, when they're sarcastic or mean-spirited, attacking us, they're shouting with those behaviors. They're shouting, I need to be loved, or I don't feel cared about, or I don't feel secure. Because secure, loved people rarely act that way. So you have to decide, am I gonna deal with this? Am I going to overcome this, evil with good? Or am I just going to retaliate and get on their level? And when we drop to their level, we're just no better than they are. The third thing you need to do, and this is a big one, and this one is really difficult for most of us. But I'm telling you, if we can master this one in our relationships, it will make all of the difference in the world. And it's simply that you've got to think before you react. You've got to think before you act. When someone pushes your buttons and they start to irritate you, or you get into an argument, or they say something that frustrates you, you think before reacting, you think before you speak. Because here's the deal. Anger control is largely a matter of mouth control. Have you noticed that? That this is such a big deal that later this year in the fall, when we get into the fall, we're actually going to do an entire series for about 3 weeks on just controlling the tongue, just controlling what we say. James in the New Testament has a ton of stuff to say about that. But you don't want to respond impulsively. You put your mind in gear before you put your mouth in gear. And again, here are some words of wisdom from Solomon. He says, sensible people, they always think before they act. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise person quietly holds it back. And in the Hebrew, that verse literally means he cools it, or he holds it back and lets it cool down. He waits for it to cool down. And here's why this is so helpful. If you reflect before reacting, if you think before speaking, then you can actually identify the root causes of where that anger is coming from. Because anger is always going to come from one of three things. And looking past the anger and looking at the root cause will make a huge difference in how you react. And here are the three root causes to anger. The first one is hurt. When someone's pushing your buttons, they're angry. It may be because they're hurt. Now, isn't it a lot easier to deal with somebody that you know is hurt? Isn't it a whole lot easier to be more sympathetic to someone that you know is in some kind of pain, whether emotional or physical pain, rather than just dealing with somebody who's just angry? Yeah, sure it is. Anger wants to make you defensive. So when you're wounded, either emotionally or physically, a lot of times you get angry about that. Here's the second cause. It's frustration. When you get frustrated, you get angry. We see this in little kids, right? When little kids just can't figure it out, a lot of times they just explode and have outbursts. But when you're irritated, when you're forced to wait, anybody been to the DMV lately? I was there this past week with my teenager getting her permit. That was frustrating, waiting. When you're frustrated, when nothing seems to be working out, frustration causes anger. When you can't control the situation, sometimes it makes people angry. So hurt, frustration, the third cause of anger is fear. It's fear. When we're afraid, when we feel threatened, when we feel attacked, we sometimes fight back. We sometimes react that way. This is why delay is greater sometimes than for anger. It allows you to reflect before reacting. You know, am I hurt? Am I frustrated? Or am I afraid? Or this person that I'm dealing with, are they hurt? Are they frustrated? Or are they afraid of something? Here's another great proverb from Solomon. Gentle answer quiets anger, but a harsh one stirs it up. What does that mean? It means sometimes just by talking quieter, just by talking more gently to someone, you can kind of ratchet down the anger in the conversation, in the situation, in the relationship. Let me give you this last point with this example. This tube of toothpaste. If I were to squeeze this tube of toothpaste, what would come out? Yeah, it's not a hard question. It's not a trick question. Yeah, toothpaste would come out, right? It's not a trick tube of toothpaste either. But when you get squeezed in life, just like that toothpaste, when you and I, When we get squeezed in life, do you know what comes out? What's inside of us? So the problem that I'm facing in my life with my anger, with my struggle at taking it out on other people sometimes, particularly the people that I love the most, even the crazy makers, I can't necessarily blame them for all of that. That I can't blame the circumstances for my anger sometimes, because part of the problem is inside of me. The heart of the problem is really a problem of the heart sometimes. So when I'm under tension or I'm under pressure, all of a sudden I start attacking other people in my life. Pressure always reveals what's inside of someone. And none of us like to admit that, do we? But it's the truth. And when we hear things coming out of our mouth, sometimes we say, I don't know where that came from. I know where it came from. It came from inside of us, right? It comes from the heart. So the key is to change your heart. The key is to change what's inside. I mean, if you've got a well, and that well is full of water, and all of that water is bad, adding a new pump is not going to help anything, is it? It's not going to change anything. So what do? How do you make a difference in this area? Well, you let God's Spirit fill your life. This is how the Apostle Paul framed it when he was talking to the church in Galatia, and it's just as applicable to us today. Paul said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's the fruit of God's Spirit living in us as followers of Jesus. Now, here's what I found, and this is just me. I'm sure this doesn't apply to you. But I found that when I'm filled with myself, that when I'm filled with David, almost anything can upset me. In fact, when I'm just filled with myself, I can invent things to upset me, right? I don't even have to find things. I can make them up. But if I'm filled with God's Spirit, almost nothing will upset me. Because I'm filled with all of those things that Paul mentions. I'm filled with love and joy and peace and kindness. I'm filled with patience and self-control. I'm able to stop before I react. So how do you get filled with God's Spirit? It's not complicated. It's the last point. It just means you depend on God instead of depending on yourself. You just depend on God instead of depending on yourself. And maybe you just pray a prayer that King David actually prayed one time, and he wrote it down for us in the book of Psalms, where he said this: Lord, help me to control my tongue. Help me to be careful about what I say. Pray that prayer. God, I'm depending on you. I'm not going to depend on myself. When the crazy makers in my life come along, when the people that I love the most come along, when the people that I work with and I get irritated and I get frustrated, when I'm fearful, when I'm hurt, when I'm afraid, when all of that rises up, I'm going to depend on you. I'm not going to depend on myself. And as you do that, you will find God filling you with your Spirit. And then when life squeezes you, when you get under pressure, whether it's from the crazy makers or something else, you will find something else inside of you. You will find something that's beyond you. It'll be God's Spirit. So this week, as you're walking through life, you're going to find yourself in a position where you're tempted to get angry, or where you're tempted to react to someone who's sending some anger your ways. And it's probably going to be because one of the crazy makers in your life. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do with what you've either learned or what you've been reminded of today? Are you going to be wise, and are you going to rise above all of that and handle it in a healthy way? Or are you going to get sucked into it like you have before and it never works out? The choice is yours. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we've all got people in our lives that just make life difficult. Whether it's people that we live with or people that we work with, maybe it's people in our family that we don't see very often, but when we do, it's just a real struggle. So God, help us to handle those situations in a way that's healthy, in a way that protects ourselves, but also in a way that reflects you living in us. And then God, as we interact with the people that we love the most, whether it's the people we're married to or our kids or our parents or our best friends or the people we're dating, people that we're close to as friends or coworkers, there are going to be times when they push our buttons. There's going to be times when they frustrate and irritate us, and sometimes there are going to be times when they even offend us or hurt us or do things that damage us. So help us to step into those moments with some healthy attitudes and with some healthy principles and strategies like the ones we talked about today. Help us to be able to hit the pause button and to begin to think and reflect before we react. Help us to identify where the anger's coming from and what it looks like so we know how to handle it in the best way possible. And most of all, I just pray that we would rely on you every day to fill us with your Spirit so that whatever the situation we find ourselves in, we can reflect you to other people. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Let's stand and sing our song of response.